personal growth doesn't have an expiration date. I am 67, and I am still growing as a person. Here is what I mean. Have you had the same experiences when someone says or does something that doesn't add up? There's a disconnect between what you know deep down to be right or fair, yet others constantly tell you otherwise, pushing you to doubt yourself and question your self-worth. This has been me for most of my life. I've been bullied and didn't know why. I felt like I had an L for loser tattooed on my forehead. A couple of weeks ago, I came across a YouTube video on building self-worth, and it was as if the ground had dropped out from under me. The message was like the fog lifted, and all those experiences that didn't add up in my life became clear. Watching the video, I realized I was the scapegoat in my family system. This recognition cleared the confusion from my childhood and adult relationships to now make sense. My family blamed me for everything, especially my emotionally abusive mother, because according to her, I was the oldest and should know better. Even my siblings blamed me for everything, deliberately getting me in trouble with my mom. With that realization came the understanding of why I'm constantly bullied, blamed for everything, even if it is not my fault, by family, so-called friends, teachers, classmates, and co-workers, even to this day. Then, the pain of what happened to me as a child hit me like a sledgehammer to the chest and took my breath away, leaving me overwhelmed by its intensity. Over the past couple of weeks, some days, this knowledge has been too much for me to accept, that people you love and say they love you can be cruel. However, there is relief in knowing that what I have experienced my whole life has a name and that other people have experienced what I have. Knowledge is power. So I dove deeper into learning more about being the scapegoat in my family. What exactly is the scapegoat's role in the family? How has it affected me? And how do I begin to heal? So grab your favorite beverage, find a comfy spot, and let's dive into today's topic of being the scapegoat in your family. This is Tips for Parenting Youngsters, where I'm dedicated to helping you grow so you can bring your best self to parenting and create better family relationships. If you're ready to invest in yourself and strengthen your relationships, hit that subscribe button. New episodes drop every Thursday. If you're finding the podcast helpful, it would mean the world if you could take a moment to leave a review. It makes a real difference. So first, in most families, each child usually has a role, especially in families with antagonistic parents. Some kids may be the golden child, like I am the scapegoat, a lost child, or mascot. The golden child. The golden child is often the favorite, the one the parents are most proud of. They get a lot of praise, attention, and special treatment. But this isn't always easy. There's a lot of pressure to stay perfect, making them anxious and scared of making mistakes. As adults, golden children find it hard to accept mistakes and struggle with setting boundaries because they're used to pleasing others. There is the enabler. The enabler supports and defends the confrontational parent, often justifying their actions and helping keep family secrets. The enabler makes excuses for the adversarial parent's behavior and even feels responsible for maintaining the family running smoothly. Often, this is the other parent, but it can also be an older sibling or another family member. Then there's the lost child. To avoid conflict or attention, the lost child retreats into their own world. They find solace in solitary activities, deepening their sense of isolation. The lack of attention, whether positive or negative, from the family leaves them feeling neglected and disconnected. Staying in the background can lead to feeling invisible or unimportant. Lost children struggle with social skills and connecting with others as adults. They also avoid conflict or need help asking for what they need, making it hard to have close relationships. Then there's the mascot. The mascot, often the family jester, uses humor or charm to lighten the mood and deflect from the family's problems. However, beneath the facade of playfulness, they often hide deep feelings of insecurity and sadness. Their role as a distraction can be a heavy burden. As adults, mascots might avoid serious conversations and hide their real feelings, making it hard for them to open up or feel understood. Then there's the scapegoat. The scapegoat is the most common family role. The antagonistic parent or siblings blames the scapegoated child for any problems or issues in the family and often criticizes or belittles them. In narcissistic families, the scapegoat bears the brunt of gaslighting and invalidation. I talked about gaslighting in last week's episode. They are labeled the problem child and tend to receive more negative attention than other children in the family. This role allows the antagonistic parent to avoid taking responsibility by projecting their frustrations onto this family member. Being blamed for family problems hurts the scapegoat's self-esteem and creates guilt and shame in the scapegoated child. Due to the manipulation, rage, and emotional and physical abuse, the scapegoated child is affected with anxiety, depression, chronic self-doubt, self-blame, low self-esteem, daily thoughts of not feeling good enough, and poor coping strategies such as emotional eating and possibly shopping. Scapegoats sell themselves short throughout their lives because when they live in their family of origin and share their goals and dreams, others in the family ask them, "Who do you think you are?" Even today as I work on this episode, I can still hear my mother's and brother's voices saying those exact words in my mind. There are some strengths of being a scapegoat. They stand up for the unfairly treated. Scapegoats often become strong, independent people, aware of injustice by standing up for others. We are empathetic. An empath is someone who understands and feels what other people are going through. Empaths sense other people's emotions, like happiness, sadness, or anger, almost as if they are feeling them themselves. They are often very caring and compassionate, wanting to help others feel better. Healing as the family scapegoat takes time, but it's a journey towards building a healthier and happier you. Here are the ways I am using to heal. Turn to my higher power. I keep returning to the same Bible verse, "Be still and know that I am God." During times of overwhelm, I take a walk in nature by myself. In the quietness, I hear that inner voice that speaks to me about my next step. It's a time to clear my head and think things through. It has always been that way for me. Another step toward healing is acknowledging the pain and radically accepting what happened. I am recognizing and validating my experiences as the scapegoat and accepting that my feelings are accurate and that what I went through was traumatic. I have accepted what happened to me and that the other family members will not change, and there is no amount of change that I can do to make things better with them. I surround myself with people who make me feel safe and supported, and who can provide me with a safe space to express myself without judgment. Knowing that I have people who genuinely support me is essential for building my confidence and feeling secure. Boundaries help protect my energy and give me more control over my life. Setting new and healthier boundaries is crucial for my healing because I've been used to taking the blame and being the punching bag for other people's emotions. I am learning to say no when something feels uncomfortable or unfair and clarify what I will and won't accept. I am recognizing my strengths and unique qualities. I celebrate small accomplishments and remind myself of the positive traits that being a scapegoat has helped me develop, like resilience, empathy, and independence. I am paying attention to negative habits or thoughts that may have developed from mistreatment, like self-criticism or people-pleasing. I am working on replacing these with kindness toward myself by practicing positive self-talk, spending time on hobbies I enjoy, and taking time each day for self-care. I am reflecting on my past experiences without letting them define me. I am journaling and speaking with a therapist who can help me make sense of my role as the scapegoat in the family. I recognize that I am not responsible for others' behaviors today or in the past, and I am beginning to let go of the guilt and shame I carry. I am exploring who I am outside my family role, past and present. I'm discovering new interests like puzzles and setting new goals for my children's books. The more I know myself, the stronger my sense of self becomes, and the less likely I am to be influenced by others' opinions or expectations. I am allowing myself to grieve the little girl who wanted nothing more than to be loved for who she was. I am grieving the regrets of what my life could have been, what I could have achieved, and the time lost. I am grieving the injustices, realizing that my healing will be more complex because of the lack of justice. Some days, the grief is intense. I notice where it is in my body because way too many times in the past, I felt the pain and ignored it. Now, the pain will be my red flag to trust my gut. I am not staying stuck in that grief, but forgiving myself. Forgiveness doesn't mean excusing the toxic behavior I experienced, but rather freeing myself from resentment and anger. Saying to myself, it wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. I was manipulated. I forgive myself for self-blame and past mistakes because I didn't know better. I forgive myself for all the times I became unhinged because of the gaslighting I've experienced throughout my life. I will end with a quote from Rumi. The wound is the place where the light enters you. Healing from being the family scapegoat is a journey, but it is possible. Each step helps me better understand myself, feel more confident, and create a life of purpose. I'm learning to let go of old hurts and build a life that brings me peace and happiness. It isn't easy, but I'm getting stronger each day by understanding my past, setting healthy boundaries, and finding supportive people around me. With patience and kindness to myself, I know that healing is possible, and each day, the future feels a bit brighter. Thank you, listeners, for embarking on this journey with me today. Your time and attention are precious, and I am genuinely grateful that you chose to spend them with the Tips for Parenting Youngsters podcast. Your support and engagement mean the world to me. Parenting is full of challenges, but remember, the most profound change starts within us. Be the role model your children look up to. They always watch and learn from us. Visit parentingyoungsters.com for a wealth of free practical resources. The website is designed to support you and your family in your everyday parenting challenges, from tips on self-discipline and positive affirmations to various other valuable topics. Also available at lessonsforlifewithgrandmakate.com are links to purchase my children's books in a series called Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. Follow along as Lily, guided by her wise Grandma Kate, discovers her inner magic of self-esteem and confidence through creative activities and heartfelt lessons, empowering her to face life's challenges with courage and joy. There is always time to rewrite your family story, break free from patterns that no longer serve you, and create a home filled with love, understanding, and unwavering support. I'm here to guide you every step of the way. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?